Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Ashley and I will bring you those stories, along with Bruce Alpert and John Russell. Later, Anna Mateo will have this week's health report. But first, American President-elect Donald Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping are reported to be planning a meeting to discuss relations between their countries. Chinese state television said the two men agreed on Monday to meet at an early date. The two spoke by telephone. The Chinese leader congratulated the businessman on his recent win in the U.S. presidential election. Chinese state television said Xi told Trump that the only correct choice for China and the United States is to cooperate. Trump's office in New York said that during the call, the leaders established a clear sense of mutual respect for one another. In addition, President-elect Trump stated that he believes the two leaders will have one of the strongest relationships for both countries moving forward. During the campaign, Trump was critical of Chinese trade policies and efforts to influence the value of China's currency on foreign exchange markets. He also threatened new taxes on Chinese goods being sold to the United States. Joseph Chung formerly served as a professor at City University of Hong Kong. Chung told VOA that Trump's election comes at a time when China's economy is slowing. He said that Chinese experts are hopeful over what they see as Trump's isolationist ideas. They believe that after he becomes president, the United States might reduce its security guarantees to Japan and South Korea. Chung also said China is worried that Trump will put in place protectionist trade policies at a time when the Chinese economy is dependent on foreign trade. During the campaign, Trump did not talk much about territorial disputes in the South China Sea. So it is not clear how he feels about China's recent moves to develop the waterway. But some experts believe Trump will make a few strong military moves in the area to prove a point. They think he then will stop doing so and begin working with China on economic issues. China claims about 95% of the South China Sea, which covers an area from Taiwan to Singapore. In 2010, China began expanding its control in the sea. Sean King is a senior vice president at Park Strategies, a political advisory service. He says experts believe Trump may order U.S. naval ships to sail through the 3.5 million square kilometer sea to show it is open to all countries. These experts believe such a move would support anti-China statements Trump made during the campaign. And they say it would make him appear stronger than President Barack Obama, who leaves office in January. Trump has yet to announce his policy on the South China Sea. The United States is not among the six countries that claim control of some parts of the sea. But Obama has used warnings and has moved military resources into some areas to push China back. On his campaign website, Trump said a larger deployment of American military resources would slow Chinese adventurism. Trump also criticized China for taking control of disputed islands in the sea and reclaiming land for others. China has reclaimed an estimated 1,295 hectares. Trump's policy on Asia might become clearer when he announces who will serve in high-level positions in his administration. Trump has called China a cheater and a currency manipulator. But experts believe he will seek to work with the Chinese leadership because China's large market and many factories are important to American businesses. Exports of American goods to China totaled $113 billion in 2015. The U.S.-China Business Council, a not-for-profit group, reported that China is the third-largest importer of American products after Canada and Mexico. Lin Chongping is a retired strategic affairs professor in Taipei. He says Trump may reduce the military budget as he deals with domestic issues. That would limit U.S. military action in the South China Sea. And that, he says, would make China very happy.
Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg has denied that untrue stories appearing on the social media site affected the results of the American presidential election. In a Facebook post, Zuckerberg said many people were questioning whether fake news had influenced the election results. He said he takes such questions seriously and that Facebook has a responsibility to try to prevent fake stories from spreading. Last week, businessman Donald Trump became president-elect of the United States after defeating former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. The voting was very close. Many opinion surveys in the days before the election had predicted that Clinton would win. Zuckerberg said that of all the stories and other content posted on Facebook, about 99% of what people see is real. Only a very small amount is fake news and hoaxes. The hoaxes that do exist are not limited to one partisan view or even to politics, he said. The Facebook founder said this makes it extremely unlikely that fake news stories changed the election results in one direction or the other. But he added that he doesn't want such stories to appear on Facebook. Our goal is to show people the content they will find most meaningful, and people want accurate news, he said. Zuckerberg also commented on the issue while attending a technology conference last week in California. He said he found it a pretty crazy idea that people would be influenced by fake news on Facebook. Voters make decisions based on their lived experiences, he said. You don't generally go wrong when you trust that people understand what they care about and what's important to them, and you build systems that reflect that. In his post, Zuckerberg said Facebook depends a lot on users to identify and inform the company about fake stories appearing in users' news feeds. He said the service is working on new ways to prevent untrue news from spreading, but admitted that identifying the truth is complicated. He explained that some stories are clearly false, but others get part of a story right and then add wrong details or leave out important facts. I believe we must be extremely cautious about becoming arbiters of truth ourselves, Zuckerberg said. Recently, Facebook teamed up with members of the First Draft Coalition to come up with ways to prevent fake news. The coalition includes companies such as The New York Times, Twitter, and the broadcaster CNN. The group was formed to answer the growing number of fake news stories on social media sites. Facebook has said it uses an algorithm, not human beings, to choose its trending news. An algorithm is a series of steps used to complete a computer process or solve a mathematical problem. This method has been questioned because many untrue stories are still getting published. Media experts say much of the fake news is posted to generate advertising, while other stories are designed to influence political opinion. Zuckerberg was asked whether Facebook could have predicted the election results based on its large amount of user data. He did not answer the question directly, but he did say that no one should be surprised that Donald Trump had more followers on Facebook than Hillary Clinton. He said, "This is because Trump's posts got a lot more engagement, both support and opposition, from Facebook users." Overall, Zuckerberg said he is pleased that Facebook was able to connect people with each other and with their candidates during the campaign. He noted that the company helped more than 2 million people register to vote, and helped users share billions of posts and comments about the election.
In the United States, immigrants are keeping birth rates from dropping. That information comes from a new study. The Pew Research Center, an independent research group, reported the finding. According to the study, U.S.-born women gave birth to 3.10 babies in 2014. That is down from the 3.46 million born in 1970. Since that year, births to immigrant women have jumped by more than 300%. It reached 901,000 births in 2014. Pew's researchers say more than half of the foreign-born mothers are from 9 countries and 1 U.S. territory. Those countries include Mexico, China, India, El Salvador, Guatemala, and the Philippines. Also on the list are Honduras, Vietnam, Dominican Republic, and Puerto Rico. Asian immigrants now represent 22% of U.S. births by foreign women, up from 16% in 2010, the Pew study found. It is not just that there are more immigrant women living in the United States. Foreign-born women are having more children than U.S.-born women, Pew said. In 2014, there were 58.3 births for every 1,000 U.S.-born women of childbearing age. The number is 84.2 per 1,000 foreign-born women. Birth rates for both U.S.-born and foreign-born women are down since 1970. But the 2014 rate for foreign-born women is similar to the rate for U.S.-born women 40 years ago, Pew said. The drop in total fertility rates has been sharp since the economic recession of 2008, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. The term total fertility rates mean how many children the average woman will have in her lifetime. Among immigrant women, the fertility rate dropped from 2.7 in 2008 to 2.2 in 2014, the Census Bureau said. For American-born women, the rate dropped from 2.1 to 1.8. According to the Pew Report, 51% of foreign-born mothers spend at least 11 years in the United States before having a baby. Just 9% had arrived less than 2 years earlier, it said. The report found that 275,000 babies were born to undocumented immigrants in 2014. William Fry is with the Metropolitan Policy Program at the Brookings Institution in Washington, D.C. If it were not for immigrants, Fry said, the U.S. birth rate would be much lower, and that could result in shortages of workers. My view is that we actually need more young people in this country, and that immigrants and their children are going to fill that need, Fry said. Stephen Camerata is director of research for the Center for Immigration Studies in Washington. The center supports calls to limit immigration. Camerata said it is true immigrants are generally young. That means they can fill jobs and help support programs that provide health and retirement assistance for older Americans. Those retirement programs are projected to run short of money in coming years as more Americans grow older and leave the workforce. But Camerata said immigrants also generally earn less money than native-born Americans and, as a result, use more social welfare programs. That takes tax money away from other services, he said. He added that lower birth rates for immigrants are offset by higher yearly immigration totals. The Pew Research Center report also reported a drop in the percentage of births to unmarried foreign-born mothers. It is down from 37% in 2008 to 33% in 2014. At the same time, the rate has held steady for U.S.-born women, Pew reported. It now stands at 42%. I'm Bruce Alpert.
A museum in the Netherlands is trying to show more of the objects it has and bring excitement to museum visitors. The museum is using an augmented reality device made by Microsoft to reach its goals. The use of this high-technology device started with a basic problem. The Dutch National Museum of Antiquities does not have enough space to put all of its artifacts on display. So, the museum asked experts at Delft University of Science and Technology to find a way to let more visitors, especially young people, experience what the museum has to offer. The experts used the HoloLens. It is a computer that shows visitors holograms, or virtual pictures that appear to have three dimensions. People can wear the HoloLens on their heads. Annelies Malta is a researcher at Delft University of Technology. She says that almost 80% of the artifacts at the museum are not shown to the public. So by using the HoloLens, she says, people can virtually visit the exhibit and see so much more. The Dutch National Museum has artifacts like the Egyptian Temple of Teffa. The structure was reconstructed inside the museum in 1971. It is not currently available to the public. The HoloLens enables you to have an augmented reality instead of a virtual reality, which means you can still see the temple, you can still feel the ancient vibe around you, so to speak. Malta says the augmented reality technology gives visitors the ability to interact with their surroundings. The researchers at Delft University of Technology are using the HoloLens to make three-dimensional images of every room in the temple. Erik Hoogland is also a researcher at the university. He explains that his team can create 3D models and add different images, movies, or animations. The effect is to make visitors feel like they are interacting with the temple. The HoloLens program is still being developed, but museum officials hope that, in the future, the HoloLens will serve as a tour guide for exhibits that have been hidden from public view. I'm John Russell.
This is what's trending today. American singer Bruce Springsteen might need to write a new song after his motorcycle broke down in his home state of New Jersey. Springsteen is known for his songs that tell about life in New Jersey's small towns. The Associated Press news agency says that Springsteen was riding his motorcycle last Friday in a large park near Wall Township when the bike stopped working. The singer then waited for help. Help came when three other motorcycle riders stopped on the road. The bikers did not know it was Springsteen when they decided to stop. Dan Barkalau is one of the bikers who stopped to help. "Bikers gotta stick together," he said. Barkalau and his friends quickly recognized the famous singer. Barkalau said Springsteen was a nice guy, real down to earth. The group talked about music and motorcycles. They were not able to get Springsteen's motorcycle running again, though. The bike's battery had a problem. So Springsteen got on the back of one of the motorcycles, and the four men rode to a local bar to wait for a ride. Another of the bikers, Ryan Bailey, said it was nice to help out. When the story appeared on Facebook, hundreds of people praised the group for stopping. This is a fantastic story about humans being decent humans, one wrote. But some people said on social media that they would not have helped Springsteen because he campaigned for Democratic candidate Hillary Clinton in the recent presidential election. But another Springsteen fan wrote, "I would have carried his bike for him all the way home. It's never been about politics." And that's what's trending today. I'm Jill Robbins.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. Cancer is a leading cause of death around the world. When it comes to cancer, the sooner you know you have it, the better your chances of surviving. A new blood test could change the way doctors and researchers find cancer in patients. Researchers say the test could provide clues to the early forms of the disease. Scientists at the University of Swansea in Wales came up with the idea. Gareth Jenkins is a professor at the university. He says he and his team did not look for cancer. They instead looked for a byproduct of cancer. They looked for what Jenkins calls the collateral damage of cancer, the damage left by the disease. In this case, the byproduct was mutated red blood cells.
In this blood test, we don't measure the presence of cancer. We measure the presence of mutated red blood cells, which are the collateral damage that occurs as a byproduct of the cancer developing.
The researchers used normal laboratory equipment to perform the tests. This equipment looks for changes in the structure of millions of red blood cells. Those mutated cells lack a surface protein that healthy cells normally have.
The essence of the test is looking for very rare cells which have picked up a mutation. The numbers of mutated red blood cells in a healthy person are around 5 or so mutant cells per million. So you have to look at millions of red blood cells to detect those rare events. These numbers increase in cancer patients. They go up to 40 or 50 mutants on average.
The researchers tested blood from about 300 people, all of whom have cancer of the esophagus. Patients with esophageal cancer have high levels of mutated red blood cells. Jenkins says that at this point, he is not sure if other cancers would produce similar results.
We've only been looking at esophageal cancer patients. Do other types of cancer patients have high levels of these mutant red blood cells as well? We don't know the answer to that question at present.
The hope is that the new test and other non-invasive methods could one day become part of commonly used medical methods. He says that using a battery or series of tests will be the best way to find out if a person has cancer.
A battery of tests based on different principles, looking at blood, looking at other bodily fluids, breath, urine, will be the best way of getting a comprehensive view of whether an individual might or might not have cancer.
These new technologies could save millions of lives. I'm Ana Mateo.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.